So now we're going to talk about establishing your investment criteria. This is very, very important, guys. And this is something I actually want you to start thinking about and working on after you are finished with this module, okay? We're going to go through what you think about to come up with your investment criteria. But the reason that it's so important is because you need to have credibility out there in the marketplace. For example, if you call a broker and say, hey, I'm a new investor and I am interested in any deals you have, I don't care where they are, he is going to just laugh and hang up the phone, okay? To have any credibility, you have to have focus. And it's not just for credibility, but it is for credibility, but it's not just for credibility. You can't be all things to all people. You can't look in the entire country for a deal. And frankly, even in your backyard, you don't want to be looking at every single type of property. You want to have your size picked out, your classification picked out. You want to have, you know, you have to have your criteria selected and have an area of focus, okay? So it gives you, once you've got your investment criteria set up, it'll give you credibility with the brokers. You call a broker and say, listen, I'm looking for anything from 20 to 50 units in a C area with, you know, maybe some vacancy issues that we can improve in this price range, in this specific submarket. That's investment criteria, okay? It gives you credibility with investors. When you're out there trying to raise money, if you go to a fairly sophisticated investor and say, yeah, we just find deals all over the country, they're going to know that you don't know what you're doing, okay? The only way to be successful in this business is focus, okay? You have to pick an area, become an expert at that area. And I'm going to teach you how to pick the area in a minute. I'm going to teach you how to determine if it's a good area. I'm going to tell you the top four areas to start in. And focus, because like anything in life, if you don't focus, you're typically dabbling and you're going to get crushed. Even the stock market. I cringe when I see people give money to investment advisors or brokers and they haven't studied it themselves. It's like anything. You need to know it. You need to understand it if you're going to invest your money in it. This is why investment criteria is important. This is why focus is important. And again, I salute you for being here and learning this business. Because frankly, you're ahead of, like I said, 98% of the people out there. You're investing in yourself. So back to investment criteria. It keeps you on track, okay? It gives you a laser focus. It helps you when you're comparing properties. And it's frankly, it speeds up the process, believe it or not. You're much more effective. And you're not overwhelmed. You're not getting everything sent at you. You know, you're getting sent deals from brokers that fit your parameters, that fit your ability to take down, okay? Obviously, you know, if you're new, you don't want somebody sending you $30 million properties. That's a waste of your time and their time. So, and you're learning the markets because you need to fully understand the market that you're buying in. I'm going to teach you how to do that. Okay, so here's what your investment criteria should be at a minimum. Size of property. You're going to start with residential, 2 to 4 unit, or you're going to go 5+. Maybe you start with a 10 unit, a 20 unit, a 30 unit. Where? And we'll talk about areas in a minute, but even inside the areas, you're going to want to look at sub areas. What class? You know, are you going to go for the A properties? Have you got a rich uncle and you're going to go for a big property, or are you going to go for maybe a C property, maybe even a D property? Are you looking for a stabilized property because you're very conservative, or you want something that you can add value to and increase the value on? What price range? And risk tolerance. What is your tolerance for risk? That's a question you're going to have to ask yourself. So here's some other things to think about when you're establishing criteria. There's quite a few things, and we're going to go through them. Certainly your initial investment. How much do you have available to you personally, or do you have commitments possibly from other people or interests from other people? You know, maybe you've said, hey, I'm going to invest in real estate. And they said, well, I've got $100,000 that, you know, if you find a good deal, I'm interested. You know, you have to think about this. So think about your initial investment and back into the size property you want to consider initially. And then the management. You know, how much time do you have available to manage a property? Now, I will tell you, I suggest most of you, if you have never managed property before, you hire a property manager for a while before you manage yourself. Many of you who listen to my podcast know that I'm a big proponent for self-management. I've interviewed billionaires on there, and people like Grant Cardone as well. they all self-manage, okay? And they do because they realize that if you don't, you're still managing the property manager. So, but I will say, if you don't have, you've never managed before, I do recommend you hire a property management company. You see what they do, you see how they do it, so it helps you learn the business. Now, I'm going to go into management in some detail in this course, and I still think you should bring in an expert initially if you've never done real estate of any kind. But so then you're going to look at what loans banks are offering for the specific types of properties that you might be interested in. You're going to call them. You're going to call your local or regional bank, and you're going to find out what their loan programs are, what sort of loan to value they'll consider. And I'm going to teach you all about how to do that in another module. But then the target area, how far from where you live. And we're going to talk about areas, so I'll skip over that one. I won't go into too much detail on that right now. But again, how much time do you have available? If you've got a full-time job and young children at home, you know, how much time are you going to be able to carve out? And so that's a consideration. Now, in my opinion, anybody can do this business with a full-time job. And I do not ever recommend quitting your job until you've built up cash flow. So you've heard it here. I don't ever recommend doing that. And I don't think you have to do that. Okay, are you going to have to work besides the 40 hours? Yes, you are. You're going to have to look at this at night. You're going to have to look at deals on the weekends and establish relationships and make phone calls and all that business. But it can be done with a full-time job. Now, if you've got two jobs, that may be another story. But a regular full-time job, I truly believe anybody can do this. Again, more self-evaluation. How much real estate experience do you have? Do you own the house you live in? Have you gone through one transaction? Do you own a little bit? All of that counts. And what's your current financial status? You know, do you have income? How much money do you have to invest? You know, do you have some assets possibly? What's your current employment status? Again, much easier to qualify for a loan if you've got income from a job coming in or from investments coming in. How many hours do you work a week? We just talked about that. And you know, how much time you have available to dedicate. And then a really important one is, what is your risk tolerance? All of you will build your risk tolerance as you start buying properties, your risk muscle, okay? It gets built as you buy properties. You know, are you naturally conservative or naturally, you know, a type AAA personality where you're a fire ready aim sort of a person? And if you're that kind of person, by the way, don't rush through this, because that's me and I made every mistake possible and I don't want you to. So take the time to learn this before you go out and buy a property. But are you conservative? Are you the, you know, the person that regularly gets caught in analysis paralysis and needs to take some action? And if you are that person, make sure that you watch or listen to my Driving Force episodes. They will greatly help you get through that and push through and take action. But again, if you're here watching this, you're already taking action. But one thing that's very, very important is, you can't have an employee mindset, okay? You have to take off your employee hat and put on a business owner's hat, because you're an entrepreneur now. You're going to be a business owner. And you know, that's a shift. That's a mental shift that you have to go through to get into this business. So you have to take the employee hat off when you're doing this. Have to be a business mindset. Now, what's great about this business is multifamily is not subjective. Sure, there's some subjective nature to it, but it's really more objective because it's all numbers. In fact, it's empirical. And so once you understand the numbers and how to analyze the numbers, that's really what it is. And again, as you mature in this business, as you progress, like I did, from single family to multifamily, small multifamily to large multifamily, your investor identity and that risk muscle will grow and grow and grow. And that's okay. And that's natural and it's good. So it doesn't matter where you start, just start, okay? And a few more things. You know, how's your credit? It's important. They're going to check your credit. Now, I want you to remember one thing here, guys. When you're doing this self-evaluation, yes, it's important how you rate here, but if you've got members of your team that can help with some of these things, you know, I'll be candid. This is a little embarrassing, but after I got crushed in 2008, you know, I had 800 houses and the market crashed and I lost a lot of those houses to foreclosure. My credit got destroyed. I'm back now. I'm perfect. I mean, you know, the black card, the whole thing. But It was ugly for a while. So I'd have my wife buy a lot of things, and maybe that applies to you. Or maybe you finance things, basically. I could buy, but I couldn't finance for a while. But maybe you have friends. Maybe you have a mentor. Maybe you have found a sponsor, which I'm going to go into in depth later. But a sponsor would be somebody to help you qualify for a loan. So it's these, all of these factors really apply to your team, not just to you personally. So keep that in mind. Don't get discouraged as I'm going through this saying, oh my God, I don't have the income, or I don't have the credit, or I don't have this, because you can supplement it. That's what's great about commercial real estate. It's not geared towards you. It's really geared towards the property and the team. Okay. We're going to talk about team in a minute, but you're going to, actually, we're going to talk about your partner team later in one of the other episodes, but this team is really more vendors like brokers and attorneys and things like that. But when you're putting together your nucleus, you may have to lean on friends or people you met at a local RIA group or a sponsor to help you put enough of a team together to go out and get a loan, okay, to go out and buy and borrow. So anyway, what's your net worth? Again, can be your group's net worth. How much liquid cash do you have to invest? Again, it could be all the resources that you've pulled together. Can you support a negative cash flow and pay for rehab and repairs? And don't discount that one, guys. I mean, especially if you're new and you don't understand, you don't want to make any mistakes here and get caught not being able to pay the bills. So again, ideally, if you can't do it yourself, you've got enough resources in your team that can help you with that. And that's what we talk about here, resources. And that includes education. You know, I'm a big proponent in mentors. You know, you guys know I offer, maybe you don't know, but I offer coaching as well and consulting. But regardless of whether you use me or someone on my team, it's very, I've had a coach personally for years, okay, myself, business coach and personal coach, believe it or not, a peak performance coach and business. And I do both of those as well. But my point is, regardless of whether you use me or not, I highly recommend you find a mentor. Maybe it's somebody in your local market, maybe it's your RIA group, somebody that's done this before, or an outside coach, either way. But bottom line is it can really exponentially ramp your growth, okay? It can shorten the learning curve and shorten your time frame to reach your financial goals. So again, investment capital, that ties into the how much your net worth is. Potential investors, again, we've touched on that. These people all add to your self-evaluation and your investment criteria. Family, friends. I will say one thing with family and friends. Be careful, okay? And I will tell you from painful experience, you know, when I got crushed, I had some family in some deals, and it took a while to... I mean, we love each other deeply, but there was some unhappiness and there was some blame, even though, you know, it kind of unwarranted because the whole country collapsed, basically the whole world, frankly, for that matter. But be careful with family and friends. Just be careful. I'm not saying don't use them. Sometimes you have to, but make sure you really have studied this and have studied the markets and learned this business before you risk, you know, other people's money. And we talked about a mentor or coach.